Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for more than 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From Beard Implement outside of Ashland, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of June. It's USDA Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt will be here too. He'll take up some of the reports and what's been happening in the agricultural energies. He's from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. And we'll wrap up the time by taking a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. USDA's numbers from this morning dropped the ending stocks for new crop corn by 105 million bushels to 1.577 on the carryout, and soybeans by 30 million bushels to 385 million. We'll discuss all of that and so much more during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the settlement prices as they finished up in Chicago. July corn on this USDA report day up 10¼ cents at $3.77.5. September 386¾, 10½ higher. And December 398¼, up a dime. March futures 9¾ higher at $4.07.5. And the May settled up 9½ cents at $4.13.5. Next year's July corn at $4.19¼, up 9½ cents. Soybeans up just a quarter in the July at $9.54. August 9.59½. A half higher, September up a half at 9.65 and a quarter, in November your new crop soybeans at $9.74 and a half, 3/4 of a cent higher. January at 9.82 and a quarter, up 1¼ cents. The bean oil 53 cents lower at $30, and a nickel bean meal at 3.5350. Up $2.30. Wheat futures July contract at $5.34½, up 20. September at $5.50, up 19¼. Both of those the soft red. The hard red July up 18¾ at $5.53½ per bushel. Live cattle futures in the June at $108.52½ for 100 pounds, down 12½ cents. August up 12½ at $104.30. Feeder cattle finished the August at $145.80, 15 cents lower. And the September at $146.82½, down 42½ cents. Lean hogs June contract $80.52½, up 37½ cents. The July at $81.45, $2 and a nickel higher. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here are some of the other numbers. Crude oil for the day in the July contract at $66.19 a barrel, about 9 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $1.44¼, a penny and 8 tenths higher. And heating oil at $2.15¼, just about a tenth of a cent lower. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.08¼, down 2 cents for the day. And natural gas, a penny lower at $2.93¼. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off around 37 points at 25,292. To the U.S. dollar at 93.855. That's up 0.295. And the gold futures for the afternoon at $1,297.20, $1.70 lower for the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area from the National Weather Service says tonight scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will mainly be before 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 68 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 84. North-northwest winds at 7 to 10. And Wednesday evening, clear skies, a low of 59 on a north wind at 5 to 7. That'll turn light and variable overnight and bring us mostly sunny skies for Thursday with a high of 84 degrees. East winds at 3 to 6. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 64. And a southeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. For Friday, partly sunny, a high of 88. Southeast winds at 6 to 8. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 68 degrees. Saturday, sunny skies and 90. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 71. On Sunday, mostly sunny and 92, and Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of 72 degrees. To start the work week, mostly sunny and a high near 91 degrees.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you today from Beard Implement and the Western Grain Marketing Elevator Tour. I'm outside of Ashland at the Implement dealer. And frankly, Wayne Nelson, I'm looking forward to talking to you about this morning's USDA report. But I got to say that I'm inside a combine cab. This is the most expensive studio I have ever been in. It's a nice Case IH in Beard Implements showroom, and it's really quiet and doesn't have any square surfaces in it, so it's all really quite nice for a radio studio. I'm glad to be here. Hey, USDA's numbers were really interesting this morning. Can you tell me a little bit about those, please?
Well, yeah, they were all considered a little bit bullish, Todd, with falls in both the 18 and 19 U.S. corn, beans, and wheat ending stocks. You know, we saw a pretty good rally after this, and we've seen a little bit of a setback in the beans after this. The corn is hanging there pretty good at up about 9.5 cents. But, you know, we did see cutbacks here, the 18-19 bean stocks down to 385 million. This year's down to 505. You know, the 18-19 corn stocks down 105 million to a 1.577. That's the tightest number we've seen in 5 years as far as a corn carryout, Todd. So lots of positive numbers coming out of the government today.
Yeah, so now that we're under 1.6 billion at 1.577 for the new crop corn carryout, USDA did manage to raise the average cash price by 10 cents on either end. I think it now at the midpoint is about $3.90. There should be some opportunities, I would think, for producers, could be at least, to price in some cash prices, maybe not in the too distant future, depending on what happens with weather and, I suppose, tariffs, too.
You know, this has really turned into a weather and political market as we got talk about it now, Todd. I mean, basically, unfortunately, at the end of the week here is when we were scheduled to enact some of the tariffs against China. After how friendly things seemed to have gone in North Korea, and we are sure that there was some Chinese help on the backside of that, encouraging the North Koreans to be friendly during this. And for those efforts, we're hoping that maybe we can just go back to the negotiating table rather than initiating tariffs there. And that, I think, could bring a little bit of a rally into things. But we need to get by that without implementing those tariffs, or else we're still in sort of a that'd be a black swan if we initiate the tariffs, I guess.
Indeed. What kind of rainfall did you get?
Well, we were somewhere between 4 and 5 inches over here between Saturday and Sunday, and a little bit of a sprinkle this morning, but very ponds all over on Sunday evening, Monday morning, and I'll tell you what, by today there's no ponds standing anywhere, so we were really, really dry.
So I'm in the west central part of the state, only about 25 miles at least at the moment from Springfield, but a little further over yesterday in the Beardstown area. They picked up about an inch and 3, 4, 5 tenths, maybe a bit more than that in some places. However, at my home outside of Champaign, I'm with you, actually a bit more than that. I think I've gotten about 7 or 8 inches over that 3-day period. So there are a lot of ponds. I was there last night, and just a whole lot of weather that you have to get through. So as I talked to Don Day, and we've done that already today, I remember I'm recording some of this early, it appears that most places have gotten rainfall. However, Don tells me that that Missouri south central part of Iowa may still be pretty dry at this point, and they haven't alleviated all of their problems. So we've got problems to look at across the Corn Belt, though the bulk of it, I guess, Wayne, is in really good shape at this time.
Yeah, I think that unfortunately for any of the individuals in those spots, they're very big if it's around your farm. But as we look at the total picture as a trader looking at it, why this was a tremendous rain to give us at least another 10 days of good growing conditions. But, you know, basically it's right around the 4th of July is when we really start to worry about pollination and hot weather and dryness. And we could be dried out by then if the ridge would come in and the 90 to 100 degree temperatures would follow through. You know, it's going to be really watching the weather very closely for that time period from the last few days of June into the first week of July.
You know, coming back to the USDA numbers, on the world side, USDA dropped corn production out of Brazil by, what, a couple million metric tons, down to 85 from 87. Did the trade take that as a good number, or are they still thinking that there might be more to be had to the downside there?
I think they're looking that there's probably a little more to the downside possibly in that, just waiting to see how things finish up. But they didn't think that was any too much. I think they thought that was, you know, well-deserved and maybe more to come.
Any bottom line from you on these USDA reports and how producers should react to them, if at all?
Well, I think that basically along the way, like we said, unfortunately, with these numbers, and we have some good trade activity, or when I say good trade, I mean good trade negotiating activity coming forth with China, I think that we can see a little bit more of a comeback. But if we do see the tariffs introduced, why, I'm afraid that we're going to be steady to back down a little bit. So, you know, it's cautious. We did get a nice little bounce here today, but it's not back to the levels where we're ready to add more sales yet.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 94% of the corn crop around the nation has emerged. 92% is the rolling five-year average. 59% of that crop said to be in good condition. 18% excellent. Last year, those numbers were 57 and 10. And last week, they were 61 and 17. Soybeans around the nation have been sown to the tune of about 93%. The rolling five-year average is 85%. 83% of that crop is up and growing. And here's a number that's pretty interesting. 69% is the rolling five-year average for emerge. The condition of the crop, 60% good, 14% excellent. Last week, those percentages were one better at 61 and 14. And last year, they were 57% and 9%. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report. While hot and dry conditions allowed many farmers to get caught up on field work, others could do nothing but watch it rain last week. Statewide, there were 5.1 days suitable for field work. Activities for the week included hay harvest, wrapping up planting for the year, and post-emergent weed and fertilizer applications. Drought concerns continue in south central and southeast Iowa as subsoil moisture ratings of very short to short reach 70% or more. 97% of the corn crop has emerged, with 81% rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean growers have 98% of the expected crop planted, 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. 89% of the soybeans have emerged, 5 days ahead of last year. 78% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Nearly all of the oat crop has emerged, with 38% headed. 81% of the oat crop was rated in good to excellent condition. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Higher than normal temperatures continued to cross Illinois last week, while rainfall totals were variable around the state. The average rainfall was 1.17 inches last week, about one quarter inch above normal. Northern parts of the state were 1 to 2 inches above average rainfall, while southern and western parts of Illinois were drier than average. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work around the state last week. Wheat harvest began last week, but is only 1% complete. That compares to 21% 1 year ago and 4% for the five-year average. The condition of the wheat crop was rated 8% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 71% good to excellent. Soybean planting inched forward to 96% finished, compared to 92% last year and 85% normally. The soybean crop was rated as 2% of acres in poor condition, 15% fair, and 83% in good to excellent condition, an improvement from 1 week ago. 95% of corn acres have emerged, and that is right on the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop improved slightly from last week and is now 3% very poor to poor, 15% fair, and 82% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener from the Springfield, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Despite scattered thunderstorms and rainfall, Minnesota farmers were able to find 4.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Warm temperatures allowed for good crop growth during the week, while field activities included planting, spraying, and cutting hay. 98% of Minnesota's spring wheat crop had emerged. That's 5 days ahead of the five-year average. However, spring wheat jointing or beyond is 5 days behind average at 34%. Spring wheat condition declined slightly from last week to a rating of 78% good to excellent. Oats were 95% emerged and 54% at or beyond the jointing stage. Oats were 4% headed or beyond, that's 11 days behind last year and 8 days behind average. Oat condition was rated 79% good to excellent. 95% of the barley crop was emerged with 36% at or beyond the jointing stage. Barley condition rated 83% good to excellent, that's down from the previous week. 97% of the corn crop had emerged, that's 9 days ahead of average. Corn condition was rated 90% good to excellent. Soybeans planted was 98% complete and 87% were emerged, with emergence 1 day ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 86% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Dry weather at the beginning of the week allowed for wheat treatment and baling hay. The dry weather and signs of stress from crops prompted some farmers to irrigate midweek, especially on specialty crops like tomatoes, crops on sandier soil, and newly planted crops. Corn and soybean stands look good, but some fields experience hail damage and wheat infestation. Corn and soybeans planted acres are nearly complete, but strong hail in isolated places has created a need for replanting. Spotty rain showers helped improve crop conditions. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 4.5 inches. Corn was 97% emerged this week compared to 84% last year and 90% five-year average. Soybeans were 96% planted compared to 88% last year and 89% five-year average. Soybeans were 88% emerged compared to 65% last year and 72% five-year average. Winter wheat was 97% headed compared to 99% last year and 96% five-year average. Other activities for the week included fertilizer application, side dressing corn, and applying herbicides to corn and soybeans. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 10, 2018. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their updates to the weekly crop progress report. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energy. Stephen Platt is here. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Stephen, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, USDA released some numbers that actually have an impact on the agricultural energies this morning. The WASDE, there were some small changes, I suppose, in some of those numbers. Can you give me a quick assessment of that and then turn your attention to the energies in general?
Well, the ethanol number did increase by about 50 million bushels on the USDA supply-demand report for corn. That probably is a reflection of the better margins that we've seen, given the higher prices that we've seen for gasoline. The biodiesel certainly was not changed. Could be a reflection of probably the waiver exemptions and the like and the competition we're seeing there as a result. Certainly both those fuels have been in the news here in terms of the agricultural side because of those waiver exemptions. I think at this juncture, though, certainly the crude market does need some attention, and also certainly the diesel market, given its impact that we've seen on the bottom line for many producers. The market has been very volatile of late. We saw this market get up to 230 on the diesel back in May, and it has since fallen off as much as 13 cents. Certainly a pretty big move in crude has occurred. We saw crude oil in terms of TI get up to as much as $73 and has since traded down toward as low as $64.50 here in the nearby contract. So there has been a lot of movement, and certainly I think everyone's wondering now, can we go a lot higher from some of those highs we saw, or is the market starting to maybe bounce out once again? We do have an OPEC meeting coming up on June 22nd. Certainly is one that is going to approach the issue of whether OPEC members, particularly Saudi Arabia, raises their production. There's already indications that that is occurring. Russia, who has been a party to the production agreement, also seems to have increased their production here during this current month. Some of that has been in response to those higher prices. And I think what we're starting to see is some reaction and some growing fears that we will stifle maybe the demand side and encourage the renewable side of the market once again through the higher price levels being commanded in terms of the gasoline and diesel. One thing, I did attend an EIA conference in Washington, D.C. last week. One thing that I really came away with is certainly the rising export levels for the U.S., certainly reflecting the higher production levels. That is primarily sweet crude or light crude, and is more amenable to making gasoline rather than diesel. Diesel has been probably the tightest of the whole complex here because of higher export levels going from the U.S. and also lower level of production because of the crude slate or heavy reliance on the lighter crudes that don't yield as much in diesel. And that has helped maintain the valuations for diesel relative to gasoline and might have an impact on the renewable market in terms of being more of an incentive to produce biodiesel versus the ethanol here as we move along. So overall, I think the market is going to be more in a consolidative phase as we move into that OPEC meeting. I do not look for the market to get much higher from here unless we see some changes in the economic growth forecast, which does not appear to be apparent at this time.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking all the time with us today and all the great explanations. Look forward to talking to you again in about a month.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. When we come back, we'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to helping farm families succeed by offering financial products and services geared specifically to agriculture and rural communities and developing partnership-based relationships with its member owners.
It's National Peanut Butter Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1897, Carl Elsner patented the Swiss Army knife. The original was called a soldier's knife. It had a wooden handle and featured a cutting blade, a screwdriver, a can opener, and a punch. Elsner was not happy with his original design, and after 5 years of experimentation, he managed to put blades on both sides of the handle using a special spring mechanism. He added a second cutting blade and a corkscrew. Today, you can get the Swiss Army knife with a laser pointer and a detachable USB flash drive. In 2004, a federal judge upheld a rule issued by USDA, which declared that frozen batter-coated French fries are fresh vegetables. The judge stated that the term fresh vegetables was ambiguous. By the way, in 1981, USDA tried to classify ketchup and pickle relish as vegetables so that schools could cut out a serving of cooked or fresh vegetables from hot lunch program child nutrition requirements. The idea was met with public outrage, and USDA ended up with ketchup on its face. The plan was never implemented. And in 2007, a number of international organizations joined in Rome to sign a document pledging to work against child labor in agriculture. Worldwide, agriculture is the sector where the largest share of working children is found. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is now here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the rainfall across the Midwest. Most of the meteorologists were telling us that there'd be an inch and a half to 3 inches over a 7 to 10 day period, and we're in the front end of that 7 to 10 day period. Can we expect more, and has it been spotty or pretty widespread to this point?
Well, if you were to look over the last week where the heaviest precipitation has fallen, at least relative to normal, that usually shows us where the real wet spots are. Obviously, what you experienced there in central and eastern and northern Illinois, stretching back into northeastern and northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, and southern Wisconsin, then across Ohio, portions of Indiana, those are the areas that have gotten the most wet. We still, relative to average, are drier in those western areas like Missouri and eastern Kansas and southeast Nebraska, at least over the last week. Now, the forecast looking forward is for more rain. Is it going to be as much as what we've seen over the last week? Most likely not. But we are going to find ourselves in a situation where rain chances are looking pretty good over most of the Corn Belt here in the next week to 10 days.
And will we have higher temperatures?
Temperature-wise, you know, one thing that happens is that after you get some bigger rains like we've had before, is that sort of puts a little bit of a throttle on temperatures. We are expecting to be warm. We're expecting temperatures to be close to average, maybe a little bit above normal, but nothing that's going to be excessive. I mean, we're sort of looking at the Goldilocks zone in terms of temperatures and precipitation coming up here over the next couple of weeks.
There's been a pretty dry area in the southwest and stretching into Missouri, parts of south central Iowa. Was some of that alleviated in this last set of rains?
Some, but there were many areas of Missouri, in particular in eastern Kansas, that did not receive the amount of rain that some were hoping.
And if you look across the Plain States, harvest is happening for the hard red winter wheat. How's that going?
Well, not going bad. There's a situation where there's been a little bit of thunderstorm activity. There will be over the next couple of days in those areas where their harvest operations are going, but nothing that looks like it's going to slow anything down.
The United States Department of Agriculture in its monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates released this morning did a lot of concentration on Ukraine, parts of Russia that have been dry. What are conditions like there, in your opinion?
Well, if we were to look at least in terms of, let's go look at those Eastern Europe locations in terms of soil moisture conditions. Driest areas are definitely in those areas you just mentioned, Ukraine, western areas of Russia. A good part of Western Europe is a little bit drier than average. Then as you get into Central and Southern Europe, it's a little more wet. Right now, while some areas are trading a little bit drier, there aren't any what I'd call big trouble spots at least showing up yet in Europe.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you today from Beard implement outside of Ashland, Illinois, and actually from the cab of a combine. They are a Case IH dealer. I look forward to seeing some of you this evening in Diamond. So I've got a couple hours in front of me to drive, but we'll be there with the Prairie Creek Grain Company tonight. I'm Todd Gleason.